hurdles. Athletes face the challenge of hurdles, low hurdles and high hurdles in track and field competitions all over the country. Some of those athletes go over them and others go through them. And because every athlete knows that you can't go around them, they also know that it's always a challenge to go over them. I probably don't need to remind you that we faced many challenges, many hurdles over the past couple of years, and we've cleared a lot of collective hurdles together as community here and extended. I mean, think about it. We've faced hurdles brought on by a global pandemic. And early on, we had to figure stuff out. We had to figure out where to buy paper towels and toilet paper and yeast. And then as time went on, there were the hurdles of losing businesses, large and small, shifting world economies, ongoing challenges to international supply chains, and skyrocketing gas prices have been hurdles that we've all dealt with. People have struggled with wearing masks and how to manage their kids' and grandkids' educations. And more recently, people have had to drive several extra miles to find cream cheese and flour, and we've had to get used to paying more, way more, for coffee. And now, of course, all of that pales compared to the far more severe, even jarring hurdles and hardships of the war in Ukraine. There have been personal hurdles as well in our lives, the hurdles and hardships brought about by cancer and autoimmune diseases, dying parents and sick kiddos, in-person school, online school, hybrid education, Zoom and Teams meetings have challenged all kinds of people. And that's just the short list. Hurdles are everywhere. Life is not a piece of cake. And that, my friends, has always been the case. We're in the post-Easter season with our series called Arise, and we're exploring how the power of Jesus coming back to life again, resurrection, is at work in every area of our life together. We want to harness the power of new life resurrection in our fellowship and our partnerships, the way we practice discipleship, our worship together, our stewardship. And today I want to focus on dealing with challenges and hurdles so that whatever the hardship that we experience in our lives, we can keep rising up. In his remarkable book, We Make the Road by Walking, Brian McLaren reimagines the experiences of the early followers of Jesus and the early church through the filter of the resurrection, which changed everything. Every hurdle, every challenge, every hardship looked at through the resurrection lens brought new possibilities for life and aliveness. In 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 to 10, we find an account of the challenges and hurdles faced by the Apostle Paul. He was no stranger to hardship. Life was not a piece of cake for him. Life was not easy. And here's how the Apostle Paul described his life. Over 30 years have passed since Jesus launched this uprising of faith, hope, and love in our world. Over a dozen years have passed since we traveled with Paul around the Mediterranean. And since then, the uprising has continued to spread. New leaders have arisen. People around the empire have joined us. We know the movement is gaining strength. It's gaining strength largely because of the hardships that we faced. There have been persecutions from outsiders, betrayals by insiders, and stupid arguments that wasted time and drained our energy. There have been divisions, moral scandals, financial improprieties, all kinds of crazy teachings that confuse and distract, power struggles, sad things that in many ways show how easy it is to forget what this whole movement is supposed to be about. As we've offended and forgiven each other, as we've experienced rifts and reconciliation, we've learned that God doesn't give us shortcuts around hardships, but strengthens us through them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let me just share a couple of observations that I've made in this passage. First of all, did you notice that last line? God doesn't give us shortcuts around hardships, but uses those challenges to strengthen us through them. Wow, just wow. Let's make sure we understand. As long as we're singing "What a Friend We Have in Jesus" and "Just a Closer Walk with God" doesn't mean that we get a pass on hardship. We don't get to go around the difficulty we face in life. We go through the difficulty. When we read in Deuteronomy 31:6, where God says, "I will never leave you or forsake you," that doesn't mean that God has abandoned us when we feel alone or forsaken. It does mean that when we're experiencing hardship, God is deeply present with us, moving us through that hardship. The starting point is this, friends. God is not the oppressor. God is not the source of hardship. God is not placing hurdles in front of us to make us stronger, teach us a lesson, or make us better versions of ourselves. God does not give you cancer. God does not inflict pain and create heartache or orchestrate calamity to strengthen faith and make us more willing disciples. There's nothing in Scripture that supports that. Instead, what God does out of extravagant compassion and love is provide the way into and through all of that so that whatever the hardship, we can keep rising up. That's at the heart of the passage from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. Isaiah speaks these words from God to people who needed to be reminded that whatever the hardship, God was the one providing what they needed to keep rising up. God speaks through Isaiah when Isaiah writes these words. "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Instead, He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." You know, when it comes to dealing with hardship in our lives, there are no easy answers. People who give you easy answers want you to take the shortcut around them. But God says, "I'll be with you through them." To minimize the difficulty, avoiding the reality of hardship is the shortcut around them. But God says, "I will be with you through them." To gloss over challenges by slapping on a Bible verse here or offering a spiritual-sounding platitude there is a shortcut around them. But God says, "I'll be with you through them." In my own experience with hurdles and challenges and hardships, I've come to hold on to three things that have kept me really grounded. These aren't platitudes. These aren't simple responses to complicated things. These are some things that have helped me, and my hope today is that they'll be helpful to you. We want to harness the power of learning, harness the power of the pause, and harness the power of connections. So let me talk about those. Harness the power of learning. You know, the experience of hardship in our lives always has something to teach us if we're willing to learn. An encounter with a drunk driver just a few years ago that could have easily turned out much worse than it did for me taught me that. It wasn't so much the actual experience of the accident that impacted me. It was what I learned through that experience. I mean, think back through your life and consider the best life lessons that you've learned. Those life lessons are probably probably the result of a challenge that you faced, a hurdle that you had to clear, some hardship that you had to endure. You probably learned a lot because of that hardship. I mean, think of it this way. You know how it is when you go camping and everything is perfect? Like no bugs and no rain, no flat tires, no getting lost, no noisy campgrounds, no bad food, no arguments with your spouse or your kids. It's great not to have any of those things. But what you also didn't get is a story to tell. There's no wisdom to pass along to others. There's nothing to rise above. The best life lessons are usually about how you got chased into your tent by the mosquitoes. And then in the middle of the night, as the storm was raging, you got chased out of your waterlogged sleeping bags and had to make a run for the car, that same car that had the flat tire on it 10 miles from the campground, the noisy campground. And suddenly you're learning all about what we call Plan B. That's where the stories are. That's where the life lessons are. No drama, no story, I always say. No story, no learning. Friends, I've been with families who have told nearly the same version of the same story about the death of a loved one, gathered in a room at Ridges Hospital across the street from where we are today. These families surrounded their loved ones as their loved ones took their last breath. And then a moment or two later, as they were just feeling the profound weight of grief and loss, they also felt the presence of God like they'd never felt it before. And then they looked out the window and saw the cross tower at Prince of Peace, just across the street. And at that moment, they were reminded that whatever the hardship, they could keep rising up. That's harnessing the power of learning. We also harness the power of the pause. Several weeks ago, during what we annually and appropriately refer to as March Madness, several professional athletes teamed up with the sports drink brand Powerade. They wanted to focus not on gymnastics or soccer or football or hockey or swimming, but instead focusing on what taking a break from all of that really means. U.S. gymnast Simone Biles withdrew from the competition during last year's Olympics to take a break, to pause. The top-tier Japanese tennis player Naomi Osaka withdrew from Wimbledon to take personal time last summer. Other athletes like Premier League soccer manager Antonio Conte, Olympic gold diver Tom Daley, and NBA star Chris Webber all got behind the effort to encourage people to pause. The pressure to perform and win became a nearly impossible hardship or hurdle to rise above, so they announced that they were just taking a break.
Listen up, guys. Our biggest problem right now, we are missing pauses.
You mean passes?
No, pauses. The secret to winning is to pause.
Bring it up!
Time out! Let's take a break.
Into the bunny hole.
Down the big tree.
You like it, Tom?
Now you're talking. Gorgeous work, Antonio.
I'm taking a step back.
What's the reason?
Sometimes you gotta stop to be an actual human.
Take a minute to celebrate, huh?
More than 20.
Hey, you'll get it tomorrow.
It's important to pause when things get really challenging. When it feels like you're in a boat without a rudder and the current is taking you places you'd never dream of going, it's time to pause and just get some rest, get some exercise, eat some good food, take a nap, go for a walk, or just sit in your favorite chair. There's great wisdom in slowing down, creating margin in our days, and some gap in our otherwise far too overscheduled lives to listen to the Holy Spirit whisper into our souls. When we do that, we find ourselves coming strangely back to life. And when we slow down enough to breathe deeper, we realize that others around us are experiencing the same thing. That's what happens when we harness the power of the pause. We see things differently. And when we take time to pause, we experience the gift of harnessing the power of connections. This is about knowing, really knowing, that we are not alone. God doesn't give us shortcuts around hardships, but strengthens us through them. And that usually happens in the context of community. You might recall just a few weeks ago when Pastor Jeff was preaching on the first weekend of April, he told this remarkable story about getting a call from a friend whose mother was very close to death. This woman had been a pastor and had been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer 6 months prior to that. And because of Jeff's connection to the family and the work of the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network, he had been asked to be this woman's pastor as her life came to an end. He told us that when he walked into her room, into her bedroom that evening, it was really clear that she would not live through the night and that she was at peace with all of that. What really struck me about Jeff's story was that she was surrounded by family who held her hand, who wiped her brow, prayed with her, and told her that she was loved and sang her favorite hymns together. This woman was so connected by faith to God and by love with her family that she was at peace even in that moment of facing death. That's the power of connection. That is God working through small groups of people to lessen the weight of hardship and provide hope for rising up. Harnessing the power of learning, harnessing the power of pause, harnessing the power of connections. There's so much wisdom in all of this for us. So friends, as you go into the week ahead, I want to urge you, I want to challenge you to make this really practical in your life. Here are some ideas. First, as you face the hurdles and challenges and hardships this week, ask yourself this: what am I learning about God, about myself, and about others through this challenging time? What am I learning? Or try this: find some time to pause this week. Build some margin into your schedule. And just take some extra time to think through Scripture, to spend some time in prayer, or just sit in silence for a few minutes each day. That pause will breathe new life back into you. Finally, find a small group of friends to talk through these things together. If you do that, whatever the hurdles, challenge, hardships, you will rise up. And that is the Easter promise. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for all that we're learning through hardships, challenges, hurdles. We thank you for helping us create moments of pause, just rest, to be in the present moment, to think about what we're learning. We thank you for surrounding us with loved ones, with friends and family, a community to help us dig deeper into life's hard times. We thank you that you meet us there and you prepare us to go. And wherever we go, you're with us as we rise up. It's in the strong name of Christ that we pray. And all God's people said, amen.